Go with me to Luke chapter 21 for just one verse to start off with. And by the way, I really like this Bible you guys got for me. It's really neat. I didn't realize it when I was looking at it earlier. I knew it looked familiar, but it's Schofield's Bible without the Schofield's notes. And so it's got great big blank pages, spots where I could write notes in. But it keeps the page numbers all the same that way. So I can learn a Bible without getting a new Bible someday and losing my spot. That's the worst part about getting a new Bible, because you know your old Bible, and you know that's on that page, and then you have to learn that kind of thing all over again. But with this, you just get another Schofield Bible, or a Schofield without the Schofield notes, like this is, and it stays the same. So this is really neat. Thank you again. Luke chapter 21, and while I was talking, I didn't go there. Luke chapter 21, this is the close of the year, and so I'd like to talk about some future events, look at some future events, so the future events of the Bible this evening. Luke 21 and verse 24, the Lord Jesus is talking about the Jews and the destruction of Jerusalem. Verse 24 says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Let's pray, please. Dear Lord, I pray that you bless this message. Please give me the words to say. Help the young people this evening to understand some things that are going to be coming to pass in the future. We don't know for sure when, but we do know that they will happen. And so, Lord, I pray that you bless this time. Help the young people again to put these things to memory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we are currently, right now, young folks, in the New Testament church age. Jesus calls it the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles. So that's the church age, times of the Gentiles. We also sometimes call this the age of grace. The age of grace. The Old Testament time was the time of the law. Or we could say it was the age of the law. Then Jesus came. He fulfilled the law and opened salvation's door fully and invites all men to be saved during this age. God is extending his saving grace to every man right now. We know that from the New Testament verses. That's why we call it the age of grace, because all men can be saved. God is extending his grace to everyone. And it's called the time of the Gentiles, the time of the Gentiles, because the Jews rejected their Messiah. They were deluded by Satan into believing the lie that Jesus was not their Messiah. And God, therefore, has set the nation of Israel on a shelf, so to speak. He's allowed the Jewish nation to be destroyed by the Gentiles, and God scattered the Jews throughout all the other nations. God did promise, though, that while they would be scattered into the other nations, they would maintain their nationality. No other nation has done that in the history of the world. Been conquered, been scattered throughout the world, and maintained their nationality. No other nation has done that. That's a new thing. That's a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. God promised, they also promised that the other cultures would persecute them. The other cultures would persecute them and hate the Jewish people. Why is there anti-Semitism in the world? Because God said, if you disobey me, Jews, and serve other gods, I will scatter you into other nations, and they will hate you. They will hate you. So it's something that God has allowed Satan to put into the world. Hatred of the Jewish people. And it doesn't make any sense. If you look at it from a make sense perspective, there's no reason for people to hate the Jews like they do. What did the Jewish people ever do to anybody else? Nothing. They just were there. They just were trying to live. And so it's another prophecy of the Bible come true. God said they would persecute the Jews, and they do. And God also promised that he would one day bring the Jews, after he had dispersed them into the nations, he would bring the Jews back to the land. And he has. 1948, they received their promised land again, or at least a portion of it. If there's one proof of God's existence today, one proof, it's the Jews and the nation called Israel. Because it was all prophesied in the Bible by God thousands of years ago, and it's all coming to pass. Only God would know that. And the Jews can be saved. It's the time of the Gentiles, but it's also the age of grace. And every Jew can be saved right now. And many of them do get saved, but not all of them. There's a strong delusion over the minds of the nation. And the nation, the Jewish nation as a whole, is in darkness, and the Jewish nation is unsaved. Okay? So it's the time of the Gentiles. The Jewish nation has been set on a shelf, so to speak. God will get back to them in the tribulation time, but right now he's set them on a shelf. It's called the church age because God created our age right now is what we're talking about right now. This age is called the church age because God created and built the church as the entity through which Christ would be proclaimed during this time of the Gentiles. God knew that the Jews would fail to preach their Messiah. For all of history before the church age, it was the Jews that were supposed to preach Jehovah and preach his message. And God knew when Jesus was going to come, they would not accept Jesus as their Messiah. And God knew that the Jews were going to fail to do what he wanted them to do, to preach Jesus. And so, when Jesus came, he built the church. He built the church. Let's have a Bible sword drill. Bible's up. Matthew 16:18, go. Stand and read it as soon as you get it. Matthew 16:18. Amen. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," well, what rock is he referring to? The rock of the truth that Simon Peter had just declared, and that truth was, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Upon that truth, that rock, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And Jesus has. He did build his church. And so because the Jews were going to fail God and not preach their Messiah, God built the church. He founded the church to do the job. And this time period, the church age, is going to last as long as God wants it to. As long as God wants it to last. God wants people to get saved. And until the last person gets saved that God wants to get saved, until then, God is not going to begin the final events of the world. God is waiting for people to get saved. He's extending grace right now. And he wants more and more people to get saved. And only God knows when he's going to stop this time period. Okay? That's where we are right now. But when God does begin the final events of the world, when God does stop this church age, the very next thing on God's prophetic calendar is what? Can somebody tell me? What's the next thing on God's prophecy calendar? Very next event. I heard somebody. The rapture. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The very next thing. This age will last for as long as God wants it to. We have no idea how long this age of grace will last, but the next thing that happens in God's calendar, that what will close the church age and bring it to an end, will be the rapture of the church. The rapture of the saints is what we call it. The rapture of the saints. 1 Thessalonians. There I did it again. I talked without moving my hands and going to where I wanted to go. 1 Thessalonians 4:14-17. Now notice as we read this passage, you will not find the word rapture here. The word rapture is not in the Bible. But the phrase caught up is caught up. So let's go ahead and read this. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Prevent means to go before. We shall not go before them which are asleep. The word asleep there is referring to people, that the believers that are dead in the Lord. They are dead in Christ. Their soul is already with God. But we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them which are dead in the Lord. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. See, we won't go before them. They'll rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is the description of the rapture here. And the phrase caught up is where we get our word rapture. The phrase caught up is the Greek word harpazo, if I'm saying it right, harpazo. And when you translate the Greek into Latin, the Latin word for harpazo is rapturo, rapturo. And rapturo is where we get the transliterated word rapture. Okay, so rapture literally means caught up, caught up. And so it's not a big what does it mean and why did they create this word. It just means caught up. So we're going to be caught up one day. When Jesus comes back to rapture the saints, the trumpet will sound. I don't know what it's going to sound like or what tune it will play, but the trumpet will sound. And God will change our bodies in the twinkling of an eye. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. This is the next thing. We have no idea when this is going to happen. It could happen at any time. This is called the imminent return of Christ. Imminent means there's nothing stopping it from happening at any time. Jesus could do this at any moment. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Jesus could come back in the clouds and call all the saints home to be with him at any second, okay? 1 Corinthians 15:50. God will, when the rapture happens, God is going to change our bodies. Those who are already dead in the Lord and are in the grave, God will change their body. God will recreate their body in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, please. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means die. We shall not all die. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That means that they can't die, or nothing bad can happen to them. No corruptible thing can happen to them any longer. Their body's going to be changed into a glorified body. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the trumpet sounds, all of those who have died believing in Jesus will be given a glorified body. Instantly. Just like the glorified body of Jesus Christ, the graves of those dead in Christ will burst open as those new glorified bodies instantly fly to meet the Lord in the air. And in the same moment of time, all those who are alive that believe in Jesus, as soon as those graves burst open, we will be changed, those of us who are alive, in the twinkling of an eye. And we will be given glorified bodies as well. Our bodies will be changed. And we too will be caught up into the clouds to meet Jesus in the air. That's called the rapture of the saints. The rapture of the saints. That event will empty the world of Christians. All the Christians in the whole world will meet Jesus in the air, even those who have already died. And all those left behind will be unsaved people. Okay? That's the rapture of the saints. After that, paying attention, young people, we're talking about future events. The rapture of the saints happens next when God wants it to. And then after that, a terrible, terrible time happens on the earth. Calamity. Calamity after calamity strikes the earth. But the first calamity, of course, to the unsaved, to those left behind, the first calamity is millions disappear. We disappear. We go to be with Jesus, and they don't understand where we all went. So to the unsaved left behind, that's the very first calamity, if you will, that they see. Millions disappear. And of course, Satan is preparing the world right now with these alien movies. And he's preparing the world that Satan knows what's going to happen. And he's preparing them all to receive one or other crazy reason why we disappeared. The aliens abducted them. The aliens took them. A lot of crazy ideas going around that Satan has started because he knows the rapture of the saints is coming, going to come to pass. He's preparing the world for an explanation already. But with millions disappearing, there's going to be chaos on the earth. And one man, God is going to allow Satan to bring one man to prominence called the Antichrist. And that Antichrist, God is going to allow him to set up a one world government system after this calamity of millions disappearing. And he will enter into a 7-year peace treaty with Israel. That peace treaty will start the 7-year tribulation. That will be a time when God pours out his anger on this earth. You do not want to be left behind, young people. You do not want to be left behind out of that rapture. You do not want to be here during the 7-year tribulation period. God pours out his anger upon all the nations, but Israel especially, for rejecting God's Messiah and instead accepting Satan's Messiah, the Antichrist. They rejected God's and accept Satan's fake. And this 7-year period of time is called the Great Tribulation in the Bible. It's also called the time of Jacob's trouble because God is dealing with Israel, Jacob, Israel. The time of Jacob's trouble, and it's also called the Great Day of the Wrath of God in the Bible. The Great Day of the Wrath of God, that day is a 7-year period. And the Antichrist is also called the Beast in the Bible. The Antichrist will start out as if he brings peace to the world. Like I said, he will sign a peace treaty with Israel. A 7-year peace treaty. 3.5 years into that peace treaty, though, Antichrist will betray Israel and break the treaty. At that point, when he betrays Israel, the gloves come off, so to speak, and he shows his true colors. He's no longer trying to be a man of peace after 3.5 years. Now he becomes fully the devil's man. He was already the devil's man, but everybody begins to realize that this guy is not a man of peace. He will force, by force, he will force all nations to worship him. If you don't, you are dead. He creates some sort of mark. We don't know what it will be exactly, but he makes a mark that everybody must accept on their right hand or on their forehead. A mark of the beast, mark of the Antichrist. And everybody has to accept that. That's his sign of allegiance, that you are following him, you're worshiping him. Those that refuse that mark will be executed by the one world government. And you will also not be able to buy anything or sell anything if you don't have that mark. He's going to put a clamp on the world. You either obey the Antichrist or you die. Terrible, terrible time. For 3.5 years, the second half of the Great Tribulation, this happens. During the whole 7-year tribulation, God plagues the world. God plagues the world with such horrific tragedies, like a great earthquake where all the islands of the earth are moved out of their places. Great earthquake. Some of the islands disappear, but all the islands are moved. Tragedies like that. That approximately, by the time the 7 years are over, approximately 3/4 3/4 of the Earth's current population has died. I think there's about 8.5 billion people in the world. That leaves about 2 billion left. 6 billion people have either vanished in the sky with Jesus, or they've been killed by the plagues, or killed by the wars that have happened. There's also war that breaks out with the Antichrist. It's so devastating a time that Jesus said if he didn't shorten those days to just 7 years, if it was like 8 years or longer, if the years were not shortened, nobody would survive. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. A devastating, devastating time on the earth is coming. The Great Tribulation. Matthew 24, verse 22. Jesus said, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved." He's referring to the 7 years. If it had been a long, many, many, many years, and the plagues just kept on coming, everybody on earth would die. It is so terrible. You do not want to miss out on the rapture, young people. And only if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior will you be raptured. After those terrible, terrible 7 years are over, then Jesus comes back to earth. Praise the Lord. Jesus literally returns bodily to earth to rule the world for 1,000 years, a literal 1,000 years. He reigns as King Supreme on the earth. He will. When he returns, the Antichrist, who thinks he's the king right then, as Jesus returns, the Antichrist makes war against Jesus with all the armies of the earth. All the armies of the earth gather together to one place, the Valley of Armageddon. And the Battle of Armageddon takes place there in the Valley of Megiddo in Israel. Revelation 19 talks about that. And Jesus destroys the beast, the Antichrist, and his armies without any help. Jesus needs no help to destroy the Antichrist. He does it almost effortlessly. Destroys all the armies of the earth. The beast is judged by the Lord Jesus. He's thrown into the lake of fire. And the whole world is physically judged at that point. All who worship the Antichrist are cast into hell. Those who got saved after the rapture and have survived the tribulation will populate the earth for that 1,000 years. During Christ's reign, that reign is called the millennial reign, of course. So there's a physical judgment right there where God separates the sheep from the goats. All the goats are cast into hell. The sheep are allowed to continue to live on the earth and populate the earth. Those who know Jesus as their Savior. Those who got saved after the rapture. Also at the start of the millennium, Christ gives the earth a facelift, if you will. He reestablishes Garden of Eden-like conditions. Go with me. Let's have a sword drill. Bible's up. Ezekiel 36:35. Ezekiel 36:35. Go. Ezekiel 36:35. Thank you. This land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. During this 7 years, the world is virtually destroyed by the plagues. And by the way, this is one reason why you don't need to worry about global warming or the earth failing or all these things. For one thing, God promised seed time and harvest. The sun and moon shall not cease. So you don't have to worry about the sun going kaput and exploding on us. You don't have to worry about that because Jesus promised it wouldn't. But you don't have to be worried about the earth failing. Guess what? It is. It's failing. And it's going to get worse and worse during those 7 years. God is going to virtually destroy the environment in those 7 years. But when Jesus comes back, he's going to reset it. He's going to fix it all. He's going to restore it to Garden of Eden conditions. Go to Isaiah 11. And that's why if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you're not worried about global warming. And you're not worried about losing the greenhouse effect and all of that. Because God is in control of it all. And God said some bad things are going to happen, and then he's going to fix it. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. This is talking about during Christ's kingdom reign on the earth, the thousand-year millennial reign. Verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the baby goat, the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God's going to reestablish Garden of Eden conditions. That means all the animals are going to eat straw or grass or plants. There's not going to be any meat-eating animals. There's not going to be any poisonous animals. They're all going to be harmless. Garden of Eden conditions. Paradise. And Christ will rule the earth perfectly for 1,000 years. Go to Micah. Micah. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 4. And verses 2 and 3. Micah 4, 2. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. Christ rules the earth perfectly. For 1,000 years, there's peace. And of course, Satan, we know, is bound for that 1,000 years, by the way. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. But after that, Satan is loosed for one final rebellion. And even though there's 1,000 years of perfect peace, Satan is loosed and there's a bunch of people, by the time the 1,000 years is over, there's a bunch of people that still, for some reason, because of sin, they hate Jesus. And they've been quiet because they had to be, because Jesus ruled with a rod of iron. But in their heart, they hated Jesus. And Satan is loosed for a short season, and he leads all those rebels. And there's a bunch of people that have a rebellious attitude that follow Satan against Jesus and against God one final time after the 1,000 years is at the end. And Satan tries to defeat God in one final battle, but of course he fails. God is more powerful than Satan. And then finally, the whole world is judged. The whole world is judged. And at the very end, God creates a new heaven and a new earth. Go to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Again, the other reason why we're not worried about this earth, not only will God revamp it at the beginning of the millennium to Garden of Eden conditions, but God does not intend for this earth to last forever. God is going to destroy this earth. He's going to destroy what he's made, and he's going to make a whole new earth and a whole new heaven. Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her. nor the voice of crying. Now to go one more passage, go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, when God makes a new heaven and a new earth. This is where he talks about it in the New Testament. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. This is John being given the vision of Revelation, the vision of end time prophecy. Revelation 21, verse 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Praise God. He's going to make all things new one day. But you're only going to be there if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to trust Jesus Christ for salvation in order to be there. Otherwise, you're going to be in the lake of fire with all the rest of the God-haters, you see. And so it's all dependent on your faith in Jesus Christ. We don't know exactly what's going to happen in the future. We don't know what's going to happen exactly in the new year. But we do know that what prophecies will come to pass eventually. God will rapture the saints out of this world someday. Are you going to be in that number that meets the Lord Jesus in the air? You don't want to be one of those left behind to face the tribulation time. Let's pray, and then we'll have a Bible quiz. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that Satan cannot defeat you. You beat Satan every time he raises up his ugly face to defy you. And thank you for that, Lord. Father, I pray that each of these young people would understand what is going to happen in the future. And Father, I pray that each one of them would know Christ as their Savior. Bless now this time. In Jesus' name, amen.